Hey everybody, welcome to session number 2 of our 4-week Bible study on the Old Testament book of
Jonah.
Yeah, we're spending 4 weeks looking at Jonah, and Katie and I have learned so much by diving into the scripture, and we hope that you are joining us and reading along with us and learning a lot as we do it too. Today's Wednesday.
Is it February? Is it to the 10th?
The 10th. The days go by so fast, they kind of just run into each other.
That's so true. And so one thing that we want to make a note of, so this Bible study is going to be streaming every Wednesday in February at noon, except
next week.
Yeah. Next week is Ash Wednesday, and so we'll be having an Ash Wednesday service at 12 noon and then at 6. So next week's study is actually going to premiere at 12:30 instead of noon. So if you're coming in for the service, you'll have time to come in, do our Ash Wednesday service, get the imposition of ashes, and then our study will start at 12:30.
That's not too hard to keep track of.
I hope not.
12 noon last week, 12 noon today, 12:30 next Wednesday, and then back to 12 noon.
Absolutely.
So you can join the Ash Wednesday service at noon, mm-hmm. and then watch the streaming at 12:30, mm-hmm. or watch one of the archives.
All right.
We have some couple of things that we're going to introduce to you and show mm-hmm. to you who are joining us today, but let's open with a word of prayer,
Reverend right.
Katie.
Let's pray. Gracious God, open your heart to us and let us hear your word. Let us hear what you have to say for us this day. Help us to put aside distractions, to concentrate just for a few moments on you and your will and what you have for us today. Open our eyes to see the prophet Jonah through your eyes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Three props. I'm going to put one down here. This is
not
the prop.
We're not talking about the power of God with Powerade.
Powerade Zero. We asked John Wesley to join us today. Mm-hmm. John joined us at a previous study last year at some mm-hmm. point. And this is John on his horse, and he's preaching the word of God.
Mm-hmm. And so, and the fact that he's on a horse is actually very significant. He did most of his ministry via horseback, so he would travel throughout the countryside of England, and that was his car.
Yeah,
and a lot of miles.
John Wesley said, "The world is my parish." That he was sent to preach wherever,
anywhere, and everywhere.
So he preached all over England and Ireland and Scotland. Mm-hmm. As a younger man, came to America, but the world is my parish. And so, like Jonah, he went where he was sent.
Absolutely. And we've also got this here. So these are a pair of praying hands. Is this olive wood?
Olive wood.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so olive wood is most traditionally found in Bethlehem. So I imagine that these probably came from Bethlehem mm-hmm. at some point, or Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
And how long have you had these?
I've had those about 15 years.
Wow, I like mm-hmm. that. Very
and
special.
There's someone at the door.
There is someone at the
yeah.
door. Yeah, interesting. Maybe they're joining us.
Maybe so. We'll have more than just Nathan. All right, we're videoing this in the church office.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes the doorbell rings and sometimes the phone rings.
Absolutely.
But you're watching and that's what counts. So we hope you have your Bible. And it's turned to the book of Jonah.
Mm-hmm.
Katie and I are using the NIV version, the mm-hmm. New International Version.
Yes, but before we dive in and start reading again, I've got just a couple of opening questions for us. And this is one that I think you have probably wondered before or have been asked before. Jonah and the whale. Is it a whale? Is it a fish? Is it something else? What is Jonah swallowed by?
Yeah. The scripture definitely does not say whale.
Mm-hmm. Or at least not our NIV.
No.
And I don't think King James says
that
either.
I don't think you'll find any version that says
mm-hmm.
whale.
Mm-hmm.
The Hebrew word means big fish.
Mm-hmm.
Big fish.
Yeah.
Kind of like a sperm whale.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like a sea monster kind of
right.
big fish. Not.
Yeah. It's not specific to what the animal is, and so I don't know where we get whale from, unless, I mean, I remember hearing that back from Vacation Bible School, Jonah and the whale, Jonah in the belly of the whale.
Mm-hmm.
And I imagine that at just some point they said, a whale is big, it can fit a human inside, it must have been
mm-hmm.
a whale.
Mm-hmm.
But
just to be clear, the scripture doesn't say whale,
mm-hmm.
big fish.
Big fish. So.
Yeah.
We might say whale a couple times, and we might say big fish back and forth, but really what we're focusing on, at least from the scripture standpoint, is big fish.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what other opening do you have?
So my next question is, so part of today we're going to be talking about the prayer that Jonah has in the belly of the big fish. And it's a moment in which he knows that he is safe. It's the moment in which he thought he was going to die, but God saves him. And so my question is, can you think of a time where you felt really safe, or really just kind of in that moment of sanctuary or peace kind of coming over you?
Yeah. We haven't got to the prayer of Jonah yet.
Not
that's
yet.
Coming
that'll,
up
that'll
in a little
bit. That'll be coming up in, the, mm-hmm. in this next study.
So that's a good question. A place where we have felt safe, mm-hmm. like in the sanctuary. The first thing that pops in my mind is when I was a kid in the back seat of mom and dad's car going somewhere. Mm. And you got dad driving, mom there, and the five boys all over the car. But mm-hmm. in the back seat, it just felt safe. This is where I was supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And dad's driving and life is under control.
Yeah. I had a similar thought when I was a little kid. I would go, and this was my favorite reading area, which is probably why I have eye problems now. But I would go into my bedroom, into my closet, and close the closet doors, and that would be where I would read. And it's not lit in there, so mm-hmm. you can imagine this has ruined my eyes for life.
Yeah.
But that was that safe place. You could bring the comforter in there and just kind of have your own little fort, your own little world. I remember feeling very safe.
So ask yourself the same question. What's been a safe place for you? A place where you found sanctuary?
That kind of comfort and peace. Yeah.
Jonah found sanctuary in the belly of a fish.
Yeah. And that's by far one of the more unusual ones. I don't know that I've ever been... I feel peaceful in the water. I don't know if I'd feel peaceful in an animal in the water.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
But
and,
he does.
In almost the worst place imaginable. Mm-hmm. But we're getting ahead of ourselves.
We are.
Let's talk about last week for just mm-hmm. a minute. And going to read the first few verses from Jonah chapter 1 last week. Invite you to follow along with us as you're watching with us. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. Kind of sums up the beginning of the story.
Yes. So he is running away, and he is not intent on doing what God wants him to do. And that gets him into trouble. And I think last week when we left, Jonah was in a dark place.
Yeah. In the middle of the storm, he's at the bottom of the boat, and he's sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
He basically says, throw me overboard. Let my life end. So he's in a dark place.
Yeah. So last week, if I remember correctly, we ended right after chapter 12. So today we're going to be picking up right into in verse 12. And we're going to start up in verse 13.
Okay.
So this one says, so I'm going to read just, I think, verses 13 and 14. Instead, so let me back up because of instead. It says, throw me into the sea and it will become calm. 13. Instead, the men, the sailors, did their best to row back to land. But they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord, please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, Lord, have done as you pleased.
What vivid language and words, for the sea grew even wilder mm-hmm. than before.
Yeah.
So this was just a massive storm that came upon them.
Mm-hmm. And they really thought they were going to die. These are sailors. They've seen a storm before. They are thinking they are all going to die, and yet... Even though Jonah says, throw me overboard, they start rowing even harder in the other direction.
Yeah.
They want to save themselves, but I think they also want to save Jonah.
Big, strong sailors. The men did their best to row back to the land, but they could not.
Mm-hmm.
And they cried to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't just whisper a prayer.
Yeah.
They're like crying. They're screaming. They're frantic.
Mm-hmm. Now, and these are pagans crying out to God to save them.
They thought this was the end.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It's kind of like being on an airplane, a jetliner that's crashing,
going
and
down.
You can see it, so mm-hmm. you're screaming out to the Lord. And that's exactly what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
Let me continue with 15. Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging, there's that violent language again, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him.
So the sailors kind of convert when they throw him overboard.
Yeah.
Which, I will say...
They feared the Lord.
Yeah, they feared the Lord. Mm-hmm. And Jonah, the runaway prophet, has done it again and has given the word of the Lord to sailors. Even he wasn't told to give the word of the Lord to the sailors, but there they are just in this minute trial with Jonah. They're converted.
Yeah. They respond positively to the mm-hmm. word that Jonah mm-hmm. offers to them.
I think it's God more than Jonah, but yeah. Jonah's in this mix.
Yeah. God speaks through Jonah mm-hmm. and in a very effective way. The three things that those guys did, they feared the Lord, mm-hmm. which means respect.
Yeah.
They respected the Lord. They offered a sacrifice mm-hmm. and they made vows. They made promises to God.
Yeah.
So these guys appeared to have been genuinely converted by mm-hmm. the witness of Jonah.
Absolutely. And they didn't want to throw him overboard. And they said to God, don't punish us because... We don't want to take this man's life. They wanted to save him. And so they're making promises to God.
Okay, and then just to wrap up chapter 1, but the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights.
Mm-hmm. I think this verse, if I had to pick one verse that was just the key of Jonah, it's probably this, verse 117. The Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights.
Now, this is referred to in the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Jesus did.
Jesus talks about this. He talks about this in two different places, once in the Gospel of Matthew and once in the Gospel of Luke.
Okay, let's look those up, and at home, you look them up too. The Matthew reading is Matthew 12, 38 through 41.
That's
okay,
right.
And you're going to look up that, and I'm going to look up the Luke reading, which is Luke 11, 29.
So I'm going to start in Matthew chapter 12, verses 38 through 41.
Wait.
Okay. We're going to wait and as you're flipping your pages, too. So just one more time. Matthew 12, 38 through 41, and then Luke 11,
okay.
29 through 32. So I'm starting in Matthew. Then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to him, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." He answered, "A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign, but none will be given except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and now something greater than Jonah is here."
Okay, and then this is Luke 11, verse 29 and following. Very similar wording and story. As the crowds increased, Jesus said, "This is a wicked generation. It asks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of Jonah. For as Jonah was a sign to the Ninevites, so also will the Son of Man be to this generation. The Queen of the South will rise at the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them, for she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom, and now one greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And now one greater than Jonah is here."
That's so interesting to me that this prophet, I mean, this is what, four chapters in the Bible. On this Bible here, I have all of Jonah on one page, and this is something that Jesus is talking about. It's something that is very much in their hearts, in their minds. They know the story of Jonah.
They know the story of Jonah. Jesus talked about it, and he talked about them repenting, but yet you are not repenting, and they're going to condemn you because they repented.
Mm-hmm.
Then mainly about the being in the belly of the fish.
Oh, absolutely.
For 3 days and three nights.
3 days and three nights. And they knew what that looked like. And they knew when Jonah went into the water, the sailors didn't see him come back up. So they are assuming that Jonah died. And so when Jonah gets spit out 3 days later, a dead man has come back to life.
Yes.
And so there's this image of resurrection that's starting all the way back in the Old Testament. And Jesus is going to make reference to that. And he said, "That looked cool. Wait until you see the real thing."
Yeah, he was telling them exactly what was going to happen.
Mm-hmm. And something I love about this verse that I didn't get as a kid. Now, I think I was taught a little bit different story about Jonah, a little bit different lesson of Jonah was, don't run away and hide from God or else God's going to send a big fish after you. And that the fish was some big punishment. I think I remember, and I don't know where I got that, but that was always, you know, don't run from God, you're going to get swallowed by a fish. The story that the scripture says is that Jonah didn't think a fish was coming. Jonah thought he disobeyed God and that was the end.
Mm-hmm.
And then the scripture in this verse 17, now the Lord provided. The Lord provided a huge fish to swallow him up. And so instead of death, which Jonah thought, I deserve death, God provides in that moment. In that moment in which he's lost, God is merciful. And so I think mercy is just one of the big themes that we're going to see in the book of Jonah. And you'll see Jonah say over and over, you are a merciful God. You are compassionate. And I knew that.
Yeah, I would agree. In fact, I would say mercy is the theme of Jonah.
Absolutely.
So Jonah thought it was the end, but it wasn't the end.
Yeah.
It's almost the beginning of the story.
It really is. So, I mean, it's the big action in the story, but we get to see God working in a really unusual way.
Okay, let's look at chapter 2. It's short. It's only 10 verses in chapter 2. So, Reverend Katie, why don't you read that and we'll follow along?
Okay. So this is Jonah chapter 2. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, in my distress I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead I cried for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled around me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me, and the deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land.
Only 10 verses in chapter 2, but what a story it tells. Mm-hmm. Jonah is in the belly of this fish. He's in the darkest place, literally and symbolically, of his life. Mm-hmm. But what does he do at this dark, dark time in his life?
He prays.
He prays. The darkest time in his life, he prays. And as pastors, this is what we say to ourselves and what we say to you also. In the darkest times in your life, as well as the good times and the happy times, but especially the dark times, turn to the Lord and see what a difference God makes. For Jonah, wow, what a difference.
Yeah, and I love this imagery that he's using in the prayer. We were talking about the imagery of the sea, you know, growing wilder than before, and those words keep coming up, and he's using those same words. The current swirling around him, seaweed wrapped around his head, waves and breakers sweeping over him. And he's saying, this is what it felt like to know I was dying, and yet... Or as I like to say sometimes, but God.
Yeah.
And he says that in the end of verse 6. But you, Lord my God, brought my life up out of the pit.
Yeah. When my life was ebbing away, he could feel his life just going away.
Mm-hmm.
And in the midst of that, he turns to the Lord.
Mm-hmm. So there's something here in this prayer that reminds me of another prayer that that I've seen before. And it reminded me of some of the same words. So I'm going to flip over, if that's all right with you. I'm going to flip into Psalms. So the Psalms are written by David. And I'm going to read a little bit of Psalm chapter 40. And I'm seeing a couple of those same words, that same emotion evoked. And I just want to talk about it for just a minute, just to compare the two.
Psalm 40.
Psalm chapter 40. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 4.
Okay.
I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me up out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on the rock. He gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth and a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. And then the first part of 4. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside from false gods.
David knew what he was talking about because David was in the pits of despair over and over again. I love verse 2. He lifted me out of the slimy pit.
And put my feet up on, you know, out of the miry clay, put my feet on solid ground, on a rock. And you kind of see those same images of I was slipping down to the depths and God pulled me up. And so I see some similarities in that. And one of the things that I see in this that I think is so clear for all of us is God hears us. In both of them, I cried out to the Lord and he heard my cry. So when we cry out to God, God hears us. And that's not just true of Jonah. It's not just true of David. It's true of all of us. When we cry out, that cry doesn't just go off into the void. It is heard by God.
God hears and God answers. Mm-hmm. I love the second part of verse 9 in chapter 2. What I have vowed, I will make good. Mm-hmm. Salvation comes from the Lord. So like Jonah in the belly of the fish says, mm-hmm. okay, I've made this promise to you, God. I'm going to keep this promise. Mm-hmm. What I've vowed, I'm going to make good. Mm-hmm. I'm going to stop running from the Lord. You want me to go to Nineveh? I'm going. Count me in.
And I think that's so important. There are just moments in our lives where everything else gets stripped away and what we need to do becomes so clear. Mm-hmm. Jonah, I'm sure, wishes it was as clear back in chapter 1 when God said, go to Nineveh. And I wish he had said, oh, okay.
Yeah.
But he does all of this, and yet everything else that's unimportant kind of slips away, and it says, what I have vowed, I will make good.
Yeah. It became clear to him in darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And so often in Scripture, that's where God speaks to people, mm-hmm. in the darkness.
Yeah. And it's in those moments in which we're desperate, when we're lost, when we're feeling that brokenness, that's when we can feel God the closest. And I think, I used to say, isn't that strange? But I think nowadays, isn't that God?
Yeah.
When we are broken, it's sometimes just so much more clear to us where God is.
I think of the first beatitude, mm-hmm. blessed are the poor in spirit, mm-hmm. for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah,
God blesses us in a special way, mm-hmm. when we acknowledge that we are just done for. Mm-hmm. We're in the darkness.
Yeah.
We're in the slimy pit.
Mm-hmm. And we were just talking about before this video, of I think it was Psalm 34, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Just that moment in which, when we are at our lowest, that's when we can feel God the most. It doesn't mean that God's not there at other times.
Yeah.
But perhaps that it's when we are at our worst and our most vulnerable that we can feel God the most.
Yes. God is especially close, mm-hmm. and we're, I guess, more aware of it.
More aware.
At a time like that.
Yeah. And so, yeah, it's not that God isn't there at other times. God is always there.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's on our side.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it takes that darkness, that brokenness, just feeling lost to be able to find your way.
I think about John Wesley,
mm-hmm.
when he was traveling to America, found out it was to America.
It was to America, not on the way
yeah.
back. There was a storm.
A storm, and he thought his life was over. He was, mm-hmm. terrified, and God saved me, and he realized his faith wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was sometime later when he went to the church on Aldersgate Street, and he realized that he had to rely on God's grace.
Mm-hmm.
And God touched his life.
Yeah. Well, and what I find interesting in that storm, where he's kind of having this crisis of faith, there is prayer going on. He meets, is it the Moravians that are on the boat? And they are sitting there and they are singing and praying to God in the midst of the storm. And that's when John Wesley says, I don't have what they have.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's interesting to me that it's in a storm and then there's still that prayer.
Yeah.
And they weren't afraid to die.
Mm-hmm. So that was like a great realization for John Wesley.
Mm-hmm. And it kind of ate at him until he gets back across and is, mm-hmm. at Aldersgate,
mm-hmm.
before he finally realizes that God is there.
Mm-hmm. So we ask of you watching at home or at your office or in your car, what moments have you had in your life that made you realize, man, I really need God right now.
Mm-hmm.
I need to renew my commitment and faith to God.
And I think that's so important what you said, renew, because I think there are so many times we think that there's just one moment in which we give our heart and life to Christ, and there is, but it's a daily decision sometimes. Sometimes we aren't who we say we will be. When Jonah says, what I have vowed, I will make good. I say that sometimes, and then 3 days later, 4 days
right.
later, I did not make good on what I had vowed.
It needs to be renewed.
It needs to be renewed.
Mm-hmm.
And those moments in which we realize more than ever we do need God. And,
mm-hmm.
sometimes I get put in my place very easily.
Me too. So far in the story, we know the word of the Lord came to Jonah.
Mm-hmm.
And he said,
no way, Jose.
I'm not going there. He takes off. Terrible storm comes. He's thrown overboard, swallowed by a fish. He's in the belly of the fish.
3 days, 3 nights.
He prays. And then
mm-hmm.
And so next week we'll continue with that. But there's some big why questions that mm-hmm. Katie and I wanted all of us to struggle with. three of them, right?
Right.
Three why questions with chapter one and chapter two of Jonah. First one.
Why Jonah? Why does God pick Jonah?
Okay, of all the people in the world then, God calls Jonah and says, go to Nineveh. Mm-hmm. What was it about Jonah that God
said, God, I want you. Yeah. What was it?
Yeah. So what's the answer?
The only answer I have is, so last week, if you remember, I read something from 2 Kings, which I know you studied diligently since we've done this. And one of the things in there is it said when he was working for the king, they helped restore some of the boundary of Israel. And so in that, he was kind of working with the king with success and kind of restoring some peace in a very tumultuous time.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of turmoil, and he was able to make some progress,
mm-hmm.
some success in that. And so I'm wondering if God was looking at that and said, hey, you were successful in making peace against some troubled time there. I want you to make peace here.
So maybe he had some experience or something like that. Yeah.
I don't know. That's the only thing I can think of, because we don't know a whole lot about Jonah's backstory.
Yeah. I was going to add, kind of pile on with that, but then I corrected myself mid-thought. So let me tell you about my thought process with that. I was going to say, well, Jonah obviously was a very effective preacher, because every time he spoke, people responded. So therefore, God called him, and I stopped that and say, no. God doesn't call people because they have talents or abilities. God calls people as they are and gives them talents and abilities, or he calls people who have no talents and abilities, and through the little that we have to offer, God blesses it and uses it.
Oh, absolutely. And we see a prime example of that with these sailors. So we have Jonah who's running away from God, and just because he happens to brush along these sailors on a boat, they convert to God just because Jonah happened to be on the boat and disobedient at the time.
Yeah.
I mean, he's wildly successful. Although he's not going out there and saying, do you know the Lord?
Right.
He's not asking those
questions.
It's just
through his life and his witness.
Through his life, and it's God working through him.
Yeah. So back to the question, why did he choose Jonah? We don't know. Why did God call me to the ministry? I have no clue.
I have no idea why I was called.
Yeah. Why God calls you to do something? We don't know. Yeah. God knows.
God does, yeah.
And the point is, God is the one who calls, and we don't have to answer that question as to the why.
Mm-hmm.
So question number one, why did God call Jonah? We don't know.
Yeah.
We just trust God.
Yeah. So question number two, why Nineveh?
Mm-hmm.
Why is God wanting him to go to this city?
I think we have better guesses for that than we do for the first question.
I agree.
Nineveh was the strongest, mightiest city in the known world.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently they were the most evil, wicked city in the known world.
Yeah, so we know from later in this, he says that there's about 120,000 people in this city. And it's a large city. It's vast. He'll say that great city. And he doesn't mean great as in they're doing great things.
Right.
He means it's this massive city. And they must be doing some bad things. And he says, their wickedness has come before me.
So it was a mighty city and a wicked city.
Mm-hmm.
Those are things that we know from the history of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And the third why?
Why run away?
Okay.
Why run?
Jonah heard the word of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
He knew about the need with Nineveh, but he went the opposite direction.
Mm-hmm.
He said, heck no, I'm not going there.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, why did he not want to do what God told him to do?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think is the answer? Let's give him 10 seconds.
Okay.
5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Oh, you're a quick counter.
Yep. What's a thought you have as to why?
So I'm projecting my own self onto Jonah, if that's allowed. Sometimes when God calls you to something, it is terrifying. You don't feel equipped. You don't feel worthy. You don't feel like you would be a success. And so why bother? What we've been doing, this road I have been on, has been working just fine for me. I don't want to go on that road where I don't know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I think that's...
I'm projecting a little bit of myself onto Jonah there, but...
I think that's valid. A second potential reason is Nineveh was this great, mighty city, and they were a military threat to the people of God, to Judah. They had already conquered a lot of the northern kingdom of Israel, and they were starting to move into the area of Judah, and they were a threat to the people of God. And I think Jonah was thinking, if I go to Nineveh, it's like I'm consorting with the enemy, and people are going to think that I'm a traitor.
Traitor. And why do you want to go to the enemy city and then bring them into the fold? They're just going to betray you.
Yeah. Then I think he hated them. He just hated the Ninevites.
Mm-hmm. We're going to get into that a little bit later into this study, and he talks about that, I think, in chapter 4 when he said, I don't like these Ninevites. And that starts to convict me, because how many people do I want to convert who I don't like? That, you know, this idea of I don't want you into God's kingdom.
Okay, let's kind of summarize the why he didn't want to go. Fear, like it's one guy and 120,000 people, and he's trying to convert them. Fear, patriotism.
I would say insecurity.
Insecurity. He had gifts, but he didn't recognize his gifts.
Right. And a little bit of hatred.
A little bit of hatred and prejudice towards the people of Nineveh. What do we have to look forward to next week?
So next week we're going to be talking about chapter 3. And this is the study that's going to be starting at 12:30 instead of noon, because next week is Ash Wednesday. So it's actually going to mesh up really well, because I think chapter 3 has a lot to do with repentance and obedience, and Ash Wednesday has a lot to do with repentance and obedience. So I think we're going to have some overlap there.
So if you can't come to church, join us online at 12 noon for our Ash Wednesday service, and then 12:30 for the Bible studies. We continue our 4-week Bible study through the book of Jonah. Let's close with a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to read and study and talk about your word. And I just pray that as we do this, that the story of Jonah will come to life in our hearts and our souls. Continue, Lord, to bless us and to lead us and guide us, even in the times of darkness, even in the belly of a big fish. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for joining us. God bless you.
Have a good week.